Thank you for tuning in to the Ultimate Coach Podcast, a companion to the transformative book, The Ultimate Coach, written by Amy Hardison and Alan D. Thompson. Each conversation is designed to be a powerful wake-up call, reminding us of what's possible for you and your life. So if you're on a journey to expand your state of being, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Ultimate Coach Podcast. I'm Meredith Bell, one of the hosts for the show. And today I'm so delighted to welcome as our guest, Chris Smith. Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, yeah, thank you, Meredith. I'm really honored and stoked to be here. So thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm so looking forward to our conversation. And I know our listeners are going to find a lot of value because I have a sense of where we're going, but the journey is going to be an interesting one. And I know it's going to be filled with all kinds of insights that they'll find valuable. And the reason I know this is Chris is the founder of the Possibility Company, and his purpose is to awaken people to what is actually possible in every area of their lives, which I love that purpose statement, Chris. And I think it would be great to start off just asking you, how did you come to discover that purpose?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share. And, you know, this idea of helping people discover what's actually possible, and actually is a real interesting and intentional, you know, word that we use there. It's not just helping people discover what's possible, helping people discover what's actually possible, because what's so fascinating, Meredith, about us as human beings is oftentimes we can't see what's actually possible. We can see what we think is possible. And what I found in my own life is there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between what I think is possible and what's actually possible. And the good news is there's always more that's possible. Like, possibility just exists, and there's an infinite supply of it. There's no shelf life on possibility. So there's always more possibility that I can tap into. However, it's a kind of an interesting thought. Well, how do I get access to what's actually possible if I only think that this is possible, right? Like the gap there.
Right.
And in my experience, it's always through another person who shows up for me in a really powerful way. And I've had a lot of people show up for me like this. And I just kind of call it like they show up like a leader, even if they don't necessarily, quote unquote, have the title of leader. And I think that's what's really amazing about this opportunity is we can help people see what's actually possible beyond what they think is possible if we're committed to helping, if we're committed to that, you know, if we love them enough. And sometimes like showing people what's actually possible, or times where I've been shown what's actually possible, sometimes it's someone putting their arm around me, telling me they love me, they care about me, and speaking life and possibility into me and helping me see what's possible. And sometimes it's putting their arm around me and having a really direct, hard conversation with me, kind of calling me out, calling me forth. But either way, like that's been my experience of how I've tapped into what's actually possible and how I'm striving to continue tapping into what's actually possible. It's usually through other people. And when I saw that in my own life, I just realized like that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. Like I want my mission, my purpose in life to help people see what's actually possible by speaking possibility into them. And one of the things that we often say at the Possibility Company, and it's interesting, we spell possibility on purpose. We spell it P-S-B-L-T-Y. So we don't fully spell it out. And we've had people ask us, you know, it's kind of an interesting, kind of cool way to spell possibility, but why did we choose to spell it that way? And the reason for it is because it takes eyes to see it. Like, possibility is not just spelled out. It's always out there, but you have to be looking for it. And if you're looking for possibility, you'll tap into it. Just like if you're looking for limitation, you'll create it. And so one of the things that we always love to say is that possibility exists, but limitation is created.
Yeah, explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, limitation is created. So we don't believe that limitation actually exists out there in the world. As a universal principle, there's no such thing as limitation. And limitation doesn't exist until we as human beings create it. And we often create it right here in our own thoughts and our own minds. We create it in our beliefs. We create it in our language. But possibility, it exists no matter what you or I do. So another way of saying it, Meredith, is there's nothing you or I could do to stop possibility from existing as a universal truth or universal principle. There's things you and I could do to limit it for ourselves, but it's still out there. And it's always out there. It's infinite. And it's just patient. It's always available for us to tap into it. But limitation's not out there until it's created. And unfortunately, oftentimes as human beings, we do a really good job of creating limitation. And so one of the things that I say is you can't tap into limitation because it doesn't exist. You can only create it. You also can't create possibility because it already exists. You can just tap into it. And I think one of the challenges of life is how do we tap into the possibility that exists instead of creating limitation that's self-imposed? And I say this as a recovering limitation creator and striving to be someone who like lives in possibility, because that was just so much of my life. You know, 15 years ago, my wife, Melissa, and I were separated. We had two beautiful little boys at the time. We were working towards a divorce. I had two failing businesses. I owed people money. I was at the lowest point in my life. I felt like a failure as a husband, as a father, as an entrepreneur. I was broke financially, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, like truly at the lowest point in my life. And I just lived in limitation. The only thing I could see out there in the world was what wasn't working in my life, what I didn't like about my life, what I didn't have in my life, what I didn't want in my life. It just consumed me. And I was obsessed every day with thoughts of, I don't matter, I'm not enough, I'll never make a difference. And I really thought, Meredith, I really thought like, no, this is real. Like, this is who I am. This is my life. Like, it was as real to me as anything, you know? And no matter what someone would have said to me, I'd have said like, no, this is real. Not realizing I was creating all of that. It was all a creation done by me. And fortunately for me, I had a wife who wasn't willing to give up on me. And even through those lowest moments, and even when I was the one pushing for divorce, she kept speaking possibility into me. And she kept speaking possibility into our marriage. And she convinced me to go meet with a marriage counselor who spoke possibility into us. And it was just through the like literally a handful of amazing people. I also had a church leader at the time. His name was Dave. I just posted about him yesterday on Facebook. I think you saw the post. He was one of those people who spoke possibility into me. And through people speaking possibility into me, I started seeing that maybe there was more that was possible for my life. Maybe there was more that was possible for my marriage. Maybe I could become something, or maybe I already was something. I just didn't know it, right? But it opened up possibility. And instead of just living and existing in this limitation, I started to be open to this idea of possibility. And the more I stepped towards it, the more I stepped into possibility, the more beautiful the experience of life. And then I started focusing on, well, what is working in my life? What do I want in my life? What do I have? You know, what do I want? And everything started to change. And it didn't change overnight. But one of the things that Gordon, this marriage counselor, said to me that really had me, you know, pause, he said something to me that had me realize, like, I am the author of my story. And that was a thought that had never occurred to me before in my life. Again, I just thought life was being done to me, right? And I was a victim to all these circumstances. And I really probably didn't even want to acknowledge I was the author, because by acknowledging I'm the author of my story, I'm also acknowledging that I'm 100% responsible for everything in my life that doesn't work, which is really humbling. But it was also empowering, because it's like, if I'm the author, well, then I can do something about it. I can quote unquote pick up the pen. So pick up the pen became kind of this like mantra for me. So pick up the pen meant, are you going to do something about it? So 15 years ago, I literally and figuratively picked up the pen and I started to write a new story for my life. And the story I wrote at the time, none of it was true, but I wrote about the possibility of having a great marriage. I wrote about the possibility of being a great husband and father. I wrote about the possibility of being an impactful entrepreneur. And language creates, right? So I started speaking it, writing it, and I just started stepping into that possibility. And fast forward 15 years later, I'm still married to that same woman, Melissa, who's my hero, and she's amazing. We added three more children to our marriage. We have five children. I have a business that I really can't believe that I get to do, and you know, it's like, I feel like I have a really beautiful life. And that's coming from a place of absolute hopelessness and despair, where I couldn't see possibility in any area of my life 15 years ago. And so I feel like that's just, that's why I feel so called, because I think there's so many people who live in limitation needlessly, and they don't realize that they could tap into possibility because it's out there waiting for them.
Oh, thank you. That's such a fantastic description of how you got to your purpose. I just love that. And, you know, what occurs to me as I was listening to that is, for some listeners, they may wonder, well, what does that mean, speaking possibility into someone? What does that really look like? Mm. Because I know one of the things that I love about your, not just your purpose and your philosophy, is your belief that each of us can do that for others. And totally. So talk a little bit about, what does that look like in practice? What does it sound like?
Yeah, it's actually, I'm glad you asked that, because it's actually much simpler and easier and accessible than I think most people think. Because I think when we hear that idea of speaking possibility into someone or having possibility spoken into you, it's like this really big thing where you have to have a lot of knowledge or a lot of experience. So maybe we'll just, if you're open to it, Meredith, I'll do something fun with you right now.
Sure.
Think of a time, Meredith, in your life, at any stage of your life, in any area of your life, where someone helped you believe more in yourself than you believed in yourself at that time. So think of, it could be a parent, a coach, a mentor, a spouse, a colleague, anyone who helped you see that more was possible than you could see.
Yeah, it was a manager who I worked with, who, okay, when he hired me, he just so appreciated what I was bringing to the table. And unfortunately, I only got to work with him for a year because there was political shifting and he got moved to another position. But the entire year that I worked for him and with him, he saw that in me. He gave me all kinds of latitude because he believed in my abilities. He believed in my creativity and gave me encouragement and freedom, which was wonderful because it did strengthen my own belief in my capabilities and what I could do. So he comes to mind as having been an excellent coach and mentor to me, as well as my boss.
Okay. And how long ago was that roughly, Meredith?
Gosh, 40 years.
Yeah. And think about the power of this. And I do this exercise all over the world, by the way, when I speak with audiences and I'm talking about this concept of speaking possibility into people. And at the Possibility Company, we talk a lot about what we call the three L's: leadership, language, and love. So it's this idea of, how do we show up as leaders, right? How do we use language to create possibility? And then ultimately, probably the greatest creator of possibility is love. How do we love people into possibility? So leadership, language, and love. And it's so fascinating to me that this happened 40 years ago. That someone showed up, like how I would describe it, someone showed up as a leader for you. Used the language to speak possibility into your gifts, right? Loved you. And like, what kind of impact did that make on the trajectory of your life and your career?
Clearly, I never forgot it.
Yeah.
And it had a profound impact because of the following year, especially when I had a completely different kind of boss.
Yeah.
And so it helped me remember the grounding I got with that one person who really did believe in me. And so when I experienced setbacks and challenges the following year, I didn't lose sight of what was possible,
yeah,
to use your words.
Yeah. So it's amazing. It's like, and usually, I would bet that if we went back and identified like everything he said to you, there might not be any one thing that really like, oh, it was this moment where he said this most.
No, that's right.
That's my experience of all, whenever I do this exercise, it's like, oh yeah, someone put their arm around me and said, hey, I believe in you. And that changed the trajectory of my career. You know, I was struggling and someone, you know, showed up for me and just was there for me and listened. And so it's like, we dramatically underestimate the power of speaking just a little bit of possibility into people consistently over time. And so it can be so simple, like, and this, someone who was your boss 40 years ago, and I asked you to think of someone who spoke possibility in you, you thought of him in a second. And then later, maybe the next year, you maybe might have had a leader who I would say maybe spoke more limitation than do you, than possibility. And you got to see how different that felt. And so it's just remarkable the opportunity that we have to speak a little bit of possibility into people. And that can be our children, our spouses, our teams, anyone, right? To just, and a lot of times there's thoughts that occur to us. Like one time I was watching my son play baseball in a summer league baseball. This was last summer or the summer before. And it just occurred to me that one of the kids on his team who hadn't played catcher that often, and catcher is a really grueling, demanding position to play in baseball or softball. And I knew this kid was new at the position, and I was watching him throughout the game. I was like, he's a really great catcher, like very naturally gifted. And it would have been so easy for me to not say anything to the kid about it. Like just have the thought like, oh, it occurs to me. And I think that happens a lot. We'll observe something like, wow, that was incredible. Or that person's really talented, or that person's really smart. But knowing about the power of speaking possibility, anytime something occurs like that to me, I try to make an intention. And so when we were walking out after the game, I put my arm around him and my son, and I just said, hey, did you know you're an amazing catcher? And he kind of looks at me like kind of confused, like, I am? And I was like, that was one of the first times you've ever caught a baseball game. I was like, that was remarkable. And I just pointed some things out, like your ability to like dig the ball on like wild pitches and just how you saw. And I was like, you could be one of the greatest catchers that ever lived. And that was it. Like, it was a 60-second, 2-minute at most. And then he went off to ride home with his parents. My son tells me still to this day that kid still talks about, oh, dude, when your dad told me that, like, I've never forgotten that. Like, and it's really influenced, like, how much work I've put into being a catcher. And, like, and so, because the reality is, Meredith, most of us left to ourselves, we're speaking limitation into ourselves all day, every day, listening to our own inner, you know, the voice of limitation and our own self-doubts, and then the world is doing it. So to be one of the few voices out there that speaks possibility into someone. So I'm a huge advocate of speaking possibility into people like this boss did for you 40 years ago. And I'm even a bigger advocate of teaching people how to speak possibility into themselves. Because that's where it's like you learn to save yourself. Like, it's great to have people speaking possibility into you. The ultimate, though, is where you start to learn how to speak possibility into yourself. And we actually teach that that's the first definition of leadership. I really believe the most powerful thing that the most powerful leaders do is they help people see a bigger vision of what's possible for those people than those people can see for themselves. That's what great leaders do. They inspire possibility. And it's one of the most beautiful gifts that you can be given. Like when that marriage counselor, when that church leader spoke possibility into me, it was like one of the greatest gifts they could have ever given me. And it's one of the greatest gifts you can give another human being is to speak possibility into them and then ultimately teach them how to speak possibility into themselves.
I want to go into the speaking into themselves, but first I want to bring up something that hit me as I was listening to you just now. And this has to do with being generous in our words with others. And you were talking about, you know, having this thought that then you chose to share with this young man and what a difference that has made for him. I have seen situations where leaders withhold positive words, parents totally. Withhold positive words. They're concerned about it going to the other person's head, which yeah. is always amazing to me, but there's that rationale that's there.
Yeah.
And I just am curious if you have experienced seeing people do that withholding, and is there something that you help them do to shift their thinking about what really can happen if they are generous with their words?
Totally. I love that you're bringing this up. And it's something that I confront often with teams and just groups, which is, I don't know if it's mostly in like Western culture or Western society. Maybe this is like all over the world, but it seems to me that in our culture, in our society, we've bought into this myth or this lie a little bit that it's like, it's not okay to really think highly of yourself. It's not okay to really believe in yourself. And definitely don't ever talk powerfully about yourself, right? Like all of that's like a shunned, like, no. And I think it all lives in this world of what you're talking about. So one of the exercises I'll often do with an audience is I'll have an audience, whether it's virtual or in person, and I'll say, okay, And we're on this topic of like speaking possibility in yourself. We're on this topic of believing in yourself and speaking possibility in others. And usually someone brings up what you just brought up, which is so fascinating to me. Because it's a thing that's out there. Well, is it okay to speak possibility into people? What if I do it too much and their heads get too big? What if I do it too much and they get entitled? Which again, I think it's just such unuseful thinking. Well, I'll just say it that way. So I use this analogy and I say, okay, what if someone right now in this room, and I point to someone, what if you stood up right now unannounced and just said, hey, Chris, I know you're leading the conversation, but I have something to say to the room. I just want everyone in this room to know that I'm an incredible leader with amazing gifts and talents given to me by God. And with those talents, I can make a difference for a lot of people. Okay, if that just happened, be really honest with me. And I ask the group, what would you think about said person? And they're like, oh, I would think they're super egotistical, narcissistic, like how'd their head fit through the door? Like, who are they? Make me feel uncomfortable. Like, okay, fair enough. Thank you for being honest. Now let's say 20 minutes later, I carry on with my, training and someone else stands up, says, hey, I also have something to share with the room. Unlike that person over there, I'm nothing special. I'm just showing up, doing my best, trying to help, but I'm nothing special or important. If we're being really honest, we would say, oh, that person's so what?
Humble.
Humble. And I said, okay, this is fascinating to me. I believe it's completely backwards. We've got it completely backwards. And then I break it down for them and I say, the first person who stood up, who said, I'm a really amazing leader. I've been given some really incredible gifts by God. We're so flabbergasted by that first part, right? It's so shocking to our own, like, probably insecurities that we don't even hear the last sentence I said. Anyone catch the last sentence I said when I was pretending to be them? Hardly anyone ever does. What they said was, I'm a really amazing leader. I've been given some amazing gifts by God. And with those gifts, I can help a lot of people. So the person we're calling arrogant and egotistical and selfish and narcissistic might and probably is one of the most unselfish people in the room because they realize with my gifts and talents, I'm going to go help a lot of people. And people are kind of dumbfounded when I do this exercise. They're like, wow, yeah, that's not at all how I thought about it. Then the person over here who we're calling humble, who's like, oh, I'm not that big a deal. I'm not that important. I said, who's the only person they talked about when they stood up? Themselves. How's that humble? How's that unselfish? So the person that we call selfish and egotistical, I actually think is probably one of the most courageous, humble, unselfish people in the room because they're like, I'm willing to embrace my greatness and I'm willing to embrace how much I matter because it's not about me. It's about the difference I can go make for others. And then the person over here in the name of humility who's like, oh, I'm not that big a deal and I'm not this. And just ask yourself, which of those two people throughout their lifetime will likely help and serve more people? Yeah, probably the first one. And so it's like, I would way rather over-index on speaking possibility into my children, my spouse, my family, my team, and run the risk of them being too confident or too cocky or too egotistical than I would over-indexing on withholding and having them not believe in themselves. And I think you can actually do that without them ever becoming egotistical or cocky or by continuing to remind them that, yes, you're amazing and it's not about you. So the fine line there is we wouldn't ever want it for ourselves or anyone else to cross, oh, I'm really amazing and I'm better than others. No, it's like, I'm really amazing. I have some incredible talents. I like myself. I believe in myself. I think highly of myself. And guess what all that comes with? It comes with an opportunity and a responsibility to go help a lot of people. Because I can promise you, if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't think it's okay to think highly of yourself, and if you're self just effacing all the time, you're gonna be so wrapped up in you. And I was there for many years of my life. You don't think about going out and making a difference for other people. You just think about self-preservation. And so it's not a valid concern. Now you wanna pour as much as you can into people, like over-index on being generous to your and compassionate with your praise and your language. And at the same time, don't be afraid to have an authentic conversation with someone when that's also what's useful and going to serve them. But I just think we got it totally backwards in most situations in life.
Love that distinction you just made, because that's been my experience too. People who are unwilling or reluctant to give that positive feedback, that praise, or speaking possibility into others have issues about themselves.
Totally.
You know, and how they feel about themselves. The deeper we can love ourselves, the more freely I think we can give to others and look forward to expanding. It's not a competition. It's not a situation where we are less than if we enhance someone else's being.
Well, and I love that. It's like, look, like possibility isn't a barrel of oil, meaning the more I give out, the less there is for me. It's like, no, the more I give out, the more I speak possibility, the more that comes back to me. It's like there's an infinite supply of it. Like there's no shelf life, you know? And you're right, like a leader's reluctance to speak possibility to others or their challenge to love others, that's actually just a direct reflection of their own sense of possibility and love that they have for themselves. And so one of the things that we're always teaching our clients as well, Meredith, is like, be bold. Don't be afraid to be the person that stands up in front of a room and say, I matter. I'm incredible. And I can help a lot of people. We're so nervous about being bold because like, well, what if people don't like me? Or what if I'm, you know, perceived this way? And another funny analogy I always give is I say, you know, I call it the humble heart surgeon. So let's say, Meredith, that you unfortunately are going to have open heart surgery. And the first heart surgeon comes in and says, hey, Meredith, I know you're going to have open heart surgery and this can be really scary. I just want to let you know that I'm pretty good at what I do. You know, I'm not the best. I'm not the worst. No one's died yet on my operating table. I graduated about bottom third of my class, but I think you're going to be okay. So let's give it a go. Okay. So that's the first heart surgeon. Second heart surgeon comes in and goes, hey, Meredith, I know this is really scary. And I just want you to know I'm one of the best in the world at what I do. My team is one of the best in the world at what they do. We have done this hundreds of times. We could do it with our eyes closed. You have nothing to worry about. You are in the best hands you could possibly be in. We will have you back up and running in no time. In fact, you'll come out of this better than you came in. You have nothing to worry about. We've got you. It's like, which heart surgeon would you rather go with? The humble one or the one who knows who they are, right? So it's like, that's a really interesting analogy of the first person isn't in service to you. The second heart surgeon is really in service to you. They're telling you about how amazing they are, but not because they want to like be impressed. They want to impress you. They're telling you how amazing they are to serve you.
Yes. You know, Chris, it's so powerful what you're saying. And what instantly came to my mind is one of my favorite sentences ever from any book, The Prosperous Coach by Steve Chandler and Rich Litvin. And it's been several years ago since I first read that book. And the sentence that jumped out at me is so aligned with what you're saying, this whole conversation. And the sentence is, before you have a conversation with someone, and especially when you're intentional about speaking possibility into them, this question is amazing. How can I serve this person so powerfully that they never forget our conversation for the rest of their life? When we do that, it's exactly what you're saying. When we're speaking possibility into them and they feel it, they sense that genuineness in our words, it lasts 40 years or a lifetime. You know, it's just amazing. I just think the connection there is very powerful.
Yeah, and I think I would assume that a lot of those types of conversations, right, a conversation that impacts them the rest of their life, it also probably carries with it like possibility, but also again, like a fearlessness and a boldness. Like that's a kind of conversation where someone's willing to tell you the truth, even if it's confronting or hard to hear, and even if it's hard for them to say, but they're like, I'm too committed to you to not tell you the truth. To not speak this possibility, like whatever it is, I'm too committed to you not to love you, not to challenge you, not to support you. Yeah, and those kinds of conversations, you know, I can think of them. Not a lot of them, sadly, but I can think of some that have impacted me and will impact me for the rest of my life. And that says a lot about who that person was being in that conversation. Not, it doesn't just say who I was being in my receptiveness to hearing it. Who were they being, you know, from that place of possibility and boldness and leadership?
Well, I have a question for you. I'd love to have you give examples because I know this is something you're practicing in every area of your life, speaking possibility instead of reinforcing limiting thoughts and beliefs that people have of themselves. So I'd love for you to share how you do this in various areas of your life, with your wife, with your children, with your team members, with your clients. I think it would be fascinating to get concrete examples of what that looks like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I think a little bit, just to back up to that'll give us some more context, is first to understand that when we were first born, right? You just look at a newborn baby infant, they're just perfect. They're pure. And my belief is they're only born with one voice inside of them. And I call it the voice of possibility. So the only thing that's available to that newborn infant in their minds is infinite possibility, love, and freedom, right? And you don't have to tell a newborn infant, hey, you really matter. They just kind of know it. They just do. You don't have to tell a newborn baby infant, hey, you're enough, right? Because they just are. You don't have to tell a newborn baby infant, hey, you make a difference. You belong here. So the reason I share that with people, Meredith, is because that's who we were born to be. We were born being enough. We were born mattering. We were born worthy. We were born making a difference, filled with possibility. And sadly, what happens to all of us at various ages is another voice starts to get introduced to us. And here's the most important part to realize: that was never meant to be part of who we are. It's man-made or woman-made. It's a creation out there in the world, and that's the voice of limitation. And at some point in our childhood, it gets introduced to us. Now, the voice of possibility is still louder, thankfully, as a kid. So although you start having these thoughts of like, do I really matter? Or do I make a difference? Or should I look more like that? Or should I look more like, you know what I mean? But the voice of possibility is still louder, and it still reminds you of like, oh, no, I do matter. I am enough. I'm good just the way I am. Sadly, though, we don't teach young children, or adults even for that matter, how to continue listening to the voice of possibility and how to talk to themselves through it. So the voice of limitation just gets louder and louder and louder, and the voice of possibility gets quieter and quieter and quieter, right? And you see this all the time in teenagers today, sadly. And the voice of limitation gets so loud, telling us things like, you don't matter, you're not enough, you don't make a difference, you know, why can't you look more like so-and-so, why can't you? We listen to the voice of the limitations and we hear it so loudly, we think it's the only voice that's ever been there. And sadly, we start to believe it and we start to think it's actually who we are. When it's not who we are, it was never even meant to be part of us. It's just what we've come to believe about ourselves and these judgments about ourselves. So that first and foremost is kind of useful for people to realize like, oh, so you mean to tell me, and I've had a lot of adults who find this kind of interesting, like, so you mean to tell me these thoughts that I have about myself every day, like I'm not enough, I don't matter, I'm not a good enough, fill in the blank. You're telling me that maybe that's not who I am? I'm like, yeah. I know it feels like it's who you are. It feels very real, like it did to me, right? And here's the good news. You can fire that voice of possibility back up because it's still in you. You can talk to yourself through the voice of possibility more than you listen to yourself through the voice of limitation. And that's an interesting thought. Do you talk to yourself more or do you listen to yourself more? Because even now, as much as I've studied this, Meredith, I'm as susceptible as anyone. If I'm not careful, if I get kind of lazy about talking to myself and reinforcing who I am through my declarations and my document, my manifesto, my I am statements, well, guess what? If I'm not talking to myself, the voice of limitation never stops talking to me. It'll start creeping back up and I'll start believing it. And then I have to be like, oh, wait, hold on. That's not who I am, right? So you can either talk to yourself or listen to yourself. And I believe that when we're listening to ourselves, the dangerous part of that is, that's not actually us. It's not a narrative we're in control of. And again, no one ever taught me this. Like I learned the hard way into my 30s, like, wait a minute, you're telling me it's this simple? I can just tell myself who I am? I can proactively and consistently remind myself of who I am and speak possibility into myself more than I listen to these thoughts that I've been listening to for most of my life. And it's like, yeah. And that's why I'm so passionate about teaching kids at a young age. Because if we could start teaching kids how to talk to themselves when they're little, they still hear that. What if they never lose the battle? What if it doesn't have to get lopsided like this, right? So unfortunately for me, I had to crawl deep into the valley of limitation. And then it took me a while to crawl out of it, to start to win the narrative again and start to believe that I mattered, that I was enough, right? So I just set that context because that's an interesting thought, I think, to like realize. And I also think, Meredith, that a lot of times as adults, we think, well, if I can just do something to become enough, right? If I can just do something to finally matter, if I can just do something to finally be and make a difference. And it's like, no, no, no. You already matter. You already are enough. That's how you were born. So it's instead of a becoming, I've started really believing and teaching it's more like a reclaiming. Like mattering is already in you. Worthiness is already in you. Enoughness is already in you because you were born that way, remember? So it's like I'm actually on a journey of just striving to become who I've already always been, which kind of sounds interesting. And I'm just striving to become who God already has made me to be. So instead of a becoming, it's more like a returning. And instead of a learning, for me, it's almost more like an unlearning, like unlearning these judgments and these limitations, right? And so one of the ways that you can start to speak possibility in yourself very practically is you can start to tell yourself who you are and who you want to be, even if it's not quite real yet. And I know that really limits a lot of people. Like I was recently working with a woman, Meredith, who, amazing woman, two beautiful little children. And we were helping her realize that she spends a lot of time listening to herself through the voice of limitation. And it's not a narrative she likes. It's not a narrative she's in control of. And that was like eye-opening and kind of empowering. Like, oh, so you mean I could do something about this like narrative that goes on up here? It's like, yeah, you can. So we started helping her identify these judgments she has, let go of those, replace them with some truths about who she is and who she wants to become. And one of them in particular was really hard for her, and that was she came up with this declaration, I am the mother my children deserve, which is a really powerful, and she admitted to me, she goes, Chris, I can't even say it out loud though because I don't actually believe it. So how do I say something out loud that like the cognitive dissonance is so far from me? And I said, here's something that's really hopeful. You don't have to believe it. You just have to want to believe it. Wanting to believe something is a great place to start. And that's still belief. Wanting to believe is faith. She goes, I said, so do you want to believe? And she goes, yeah. She goes, but I don't. She kept having to remind me. I go, I know you don't believe it, but do you want to? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, let's start with just wanting to. So we changed the I am to, I want to believe that I'm the mother my children deserve. And I said, I promise you, if you keep saying this, that wanting to believe by saying it, well, it'll start to, that seed will start to take some root and you'll start believing it. And about 2 weeks ago, she goes, something's happening with me saying I want to believe. And it's starting, I'm actually think I'm starting to believe it. And so my point in saying all of this is I think sometimes people hear this and they're like, well, what if I'm not there yet? And that was hard for me like 15 years ago to say, I am an amazing husband and father. I am a successful entrepreneur because I wasn't even close, but I wanted to believe and that's what I held on to. I want to believe I could be a successful husband and father. I want to believe I could be a successful entrepreneur. And just wanting to and sticking with it long enough, I started to actually believe. Now, there were other areas of my life that was easier to get to. Like I could see that I am that or I could easily become it. And so the very first place that I start with people is like, well, what do you want to believe about yourself? And people push back, well, I don't. I'm like, I didn't ask you what you do believe. What do you want to believe about yourself? Well, I'd love to believe that I'm amazing. I'd love to believe that I matter. I'd love to believe that I make a difference. I'd love to believe I'm a powerful leader. I'd love to believe I'm enough. Let's start there. And not just start by creating the statements, the consistency of, again, let's talk to ourselves often and reinforce who we are. Let's not lose the battle to the voice of limitation. Let's win the battle through the voice of possibility. Let's talk to ourselves more than we listen to ourselves. And so I tell myself things about who I am as a husband, who I am as a father. I tell myself things about who I am as an entrepreneur every day, right? So you asked about some practical ones as it relates to family. So I'm going to start kind of midway into my document or my manifesto. So one of mine is, my wife, Melissa, is my hero. I'm unwavering love, support, belief, commitment, confidence, patience, faith, understanding, hope, and belief in her and her dreams. She is brilliant, talented, gorgeous, beautiful, powerful, sexy, and fabulous. And she is absolutely perfect just the way she is. I check in with her daily to ask her how her day is going. My five children, Tate, Tanner, Ivy, Tripp, and Indy, are my best friends. I'm their most committed, connected, loving, patient, kind, understanding, forgiving, fun, compassionate father. I'm inspired by them daily and do everything in my power to help them discover and live into their gifts. I treat Melissa, Tate, Tanner, Ivy, Tripp, and Indy the way Jesus would. I am that nothing is worth getting frustrated over. I am that nothing is worth complaining about. I am that nothing is worth overreacting to. I accept everyone and everything. I am that no one benefits from my criticism and judgment, and yet everyone benefits from my love and forgiveness. I am that I only have love and blessings for those whom I want to judge. That's just a small part of mine, but like, I speak that possibility into myself. And am I that every day, Meredith? No. You can ask my wife and kids. They'll tell you, I am not that every day. But I don't also get hung up on that. And I don't judge myself every single day. Like, was I or was I not? It's like, this is what I'm striving to become. This is who I'm striving to like. It's like, from, it's a place to come from and live into. And am I more likely to be those things by consistently speaking that possibility into myself than I wasn't? Absolutely. Because if I'm not careful, I'll sit around and start listening to myself. And that'll, and the voice of limitation will start telling me things like, you're not a great husband. You're not a present father. You work too much. You're this, you know? And I'll start really buying into that and believing it when it's not true. So one last thing I'll say about this is, anything spoken to you by the voice of limitation, it's not true. Everything spoken to you through the voice of possibility is true. And a really great way to just say that, so Meredith, if you were to say, I don't matter, would that feel good?
No.
So one of the things that I say that's super accessible, and this is a friend of mine, David Baer, said this, if it doesn't feel good, when talking to yourself about yourself, if it doesn't feel good, it's likely not true. If it doesn't feel good, it's likely not true. Now, Meredith, if you said to yourself, I really matter, does that feel good?
Absolutely.
Because it's true. So the things that we speak to ourselves through the voice of possibility, they feel good because they're true. Or the things we want to believe about ourselves, they feel good because they're true. The things that we speak to ourselves through the voice of limitation, they don't feel good. Why don't they feel good? Because they're not true. So this is like very practical to your point earlier. It's like, you could do this every single day.
Well, you know, as you were asking the question about, does it feel good? Does it not feel good? I want to circle back to the example you were giving of this woman who wanted to believe she was the mother her kids deserve. In a sense, that didn't feel good to her at first because it didn't feel true. It felt like she was being unauthentic or inauthentic. Yeah. And so there's that a distinction I think we need to learn to recognize. Does something not feel good? Why does it not feel good? Because we don't think it's true for us yet, so we feel like we don't deserve to state it that way yet.
Right.
Or is it something we're blaming and criticizing and judging ourselves for in a negative way? And I think that judging is such a key word.
Yeah, that's a great distinction. You're right. Sometimes there might be some things that you want to believe that still might not feel good because it feels inauthentic. But if you can realize, but how would it feel to actually believe this? Well, that would feel really good. How does it feel to believe that I'm not the mother my children deserve or never will be? Well, yeah, that doesn't feel good. It's like, yeah, it's not true. And so it's like, I think a lot of times without knowing it, what I did most of my life, no one ever told me this. Again, I didn't realize I was sitting around all day listening to thoughts about myself that weren't true, but I really believed they were. It really felt true to me. It's like, no, I am worthless. Like look at all this evidence I have. And it's like just amazing what can happen when you start speaking a little bit of possibility in yourself, even if you don't believe it quite yet, it's just wanting to. And sometimes what kickstarts you wanting to speak possibility in yourself is someone else does it. And that's what my experience was. I had people who spoke possibility into me at a time when I couldn't see any. But that's what kind of kickstarted it for me. And I think that's who we can be for others. Now, at some point in time, I had to start also speaking possibility to myself. I couldn't just rely on them to do it forever. But man, they gave me a really great jumpstart into possibility, I guess you could say.
You know, what you're also speaking to, Chris, to me is who am I surrounding myself with? Am I, you know, am I in an environment where people, lots of people are speaking possibility into me, or am I surrounded by critics? And so, you know, I think that's such a key piece for our ability to speak possibility into ourselves is who are we surrounding ourselves with?
I love that. Yeah, you said that. I spoke to a group of kids yesterday, probably about 25 young kids between the ages of like 4 to like teenagers. And on this whole conversation, limitation, possibility, and kids understand this. Kids grasp it. They're like, whoa. And they latch on, and every kid was creating I am statements and sharing them, and it's powerful. And one of the things that I just felt impressed at towards the end of the call, I was about to end, I go, hey, one more thing I want to share with you. If you find yourself often in situation or groups of people or environments where the situation or the people are making you feel bad about yourself and speaking limitation into you, you really want to consider distancing yourself from that environment, that situation, those people. And you really want to get in environments and around people that fill you up with possibility and make you feel good about yourself. So that is so, so important. And sometimes that's difficult. You know, some people might live in the home right now listening to this, where the majority of the people around them speak in limitation, live in limitation, and even speaking into them. And that's where you've got to be advocating for yourself, right? And counteracting that to the best of your ability, and then really like look at how can I surround myself more with people who are living in possibility, speaking possibility, because we'll find whatever we're looking for. That's what's so fascinating about the brain, is it finds evidence for whatever you. So if you want to find limitation, you will find all of it that you need and then more. If you want to find possibility, you'll find infinite supply of it. And one just real practical thing, Meredith, and this is, it's so practical and it's so transformative though, that it's almost like it's too simple. And a lot of people kind of dismiss it when I first say this to them. And then they'll come back around sometimes months or years later and be like, wow, that thing you said to me. And this is something that I learned the hard way, is that when Melissa and I decided we were going to really fight for our marriage, that it was at a time when our marriage still wasn't great. It wasn't like we had this really struggling marriage and then all of a sudden we decided to fight for it and it was like amazing. No, it was like, it was just as bad as it had ever been. We were now just deciding to fight for it. And one of the realizations Melissa and I had one day was, it just kind of hit both of us upside the head. Like, we say that we want to have a great marriage, and yet the only thing we ever talk about is what we don't like about our marriage, what isn't working in our marriage, what we don't want in our marriage, and what we don't have in our marriage. And it was just so eye-opening. It was so obvious to us. It had never been obvious before that, but it was so obvious, like, well, how would we ever create the marriage we want if the only thing we talk about and focus on is what we don't want and what isn't working? So in the talking about what we don't want and what isn't working, we just create more of what we don't want and what isn't working. And we're doing it to ourselves. So we made a conscious choice, Meredith. Hey, we won't be perfect at this, but let's really strive to talk about what we do want in our marriage. Let's really strive to talk about what is working. And that was tough, because we actually had more evidence at that time of what wasn't working and what we didn't want. But there were still some things that were working. There were still some things we did want. And a lot of times, I mean, we have people all the time, right? How did you guys save your marriage and create something beautiful out of it? And I think they're disappointed a lot of times in our answer, because they are looking for something way more profound. And we always tell them, this is the first lesson. The very first thing we did is we stopped talking to each other and others and in our minds about what we didn't like, what we didn't like about our marriage and what wasn't working. And we put all of our energy and our thoughts and our talking and our language towards what we did want and what was working. I think most people are shocked at how much better their lives get pretty fast, within a day, a week's time, if they just said, okay, I'm going to try an experiment for the next day, 24 hours or the next week. I'm going to really strive to only talk about and think about what is working in my life and what I do want. And I'm not going to put any energy towards what I don't like and what isn't working. Because what you don't like and what isn't working lives in limitation. What you do like and what could work, and what it lives in possibility. So it's almost like we're looking for it. We're looking for one or the other. And it's so simple that, again, a lot of people kind of just, they hear that and they go, okay. And I'm like, no, really try it out. Like really try in every situation in your life, think about what you do like and what is working and what you want. Because we think sometimes we're saying the same thing. Like we've heard stories in research that a lot of young girls, for example, or women will say, well, yeah, when I was a young girl, I knew I did not want to marry someone like my dad. So I told myself throughout my life, I will not marry someone like my dad. I will not marry someone like my dad. I will not marry someone like my dad. And guess what happened? I married someone just like my dad. Because by focusing on what I didn't want, and it would have been so much more useful had someone taught them, let's not talk about what we don't want. No usefulness in speaking limitation. The flip side of that would be, I want to marry someone who's loving, kind, and like, talk about what you want and you'll create it. Talk about what you don't want and you'll create that.
That is so you're right. It's simple and yet so profound, because as I'm listening to you, I'm just thinking about all the different ways that can be applied, whether it's our spouse, one of our kids that might drive us crazy, or, you know, a neighbor or a team member, a boss. All these individuals that we tend to focus on what's wrong with them and what we don't like about them versus looking at what do I value?
Yeah. Or even like health. I hear from people all the time talk about what they don't want in their health. And I'll listen, you know, like, I don't want to be this overweight. I don't want to have this situation. I don't want this knee pain. I don't want. I'm like, but I think it almost feels good, Meredith, to talk about what we don't want, because it almost kind of feels like we're doing something about it. And then I'll always say, okay, thanks for telling me what we don't want. What do you want? Well, I want to walk a mile pain-free. I want to hike again. I'm like, okay, let's feed that. Let's create more of what you do want.
Yeah.
Not create more of what you don't want. But it's so easy for our mind to go there around people, situations, and, you know, areas of our life.
Chris, you know, we've come to the end of our time together. The time has flown by, and I was right in my introduction. You exceeded even what I had envisioned. So we have focused on what we wanted to create in this conversation, and it's been awesome. Thank you for all the gems that you have shared today. It's so thought-provoking. I want to encourage our listeners to go back and listen to this multiple times, because I guarantee you it's going to trigger your thinking about different situations in your life, that if you focus on the possibility, as Chris has just been talking about, instead of the limitations, what you don't want, miracles can happen. Chris, tell people how they can connect with you and learn more about the work that you're doing, because I know we'll have some folks really interested in doing both.
Yeah. And so here's a link, psblty.co. So again, that's how we spell possibility, psblty. And Meredith, I believe you can put this in the show notes as well, right?
Yeah.
And if you go to psblty.co, we just have some really incredible, a free resource that we created to just be able to give back and serve. And it's called the Clarity Code. Because I think one of the things that a lot of people really struggle with is clarity. And you might ask around, what? It's like, well, anything. You know, ask most anyone, like, especially if you ask an entrepreneur, what do you really want to do in your business? And who do you really want to serve? It's like, I don't know. That's the problem. You know, clarity is actually confronting work. And we've realized that at the Possibility Company, that's one of the things that we're really great at, is helping entrepreneurs and organizations and just even individuals get clarity really quickly on who they actually are and what it is they're actually committed to. And so we have this, you know, this resource that, you know, we love just giving it as a gift. And so if you go to psblty.co, you can download the Clarity Code and go through it. And we've had a lot of individuals, entrepreneurs, organizations who've come back to us and said, wow, that course was really helpful in just helping me get some clarity of like who I am and what I'm committed to.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I assume they can find out more about you as well there. And what social media would you prefer people look for you on?
Yeah, you know, I put out a lot of content on Instagram. Again, all designed and aimed at helping people see what's possible. So my Instagram handle is Chris Carter Smith. So if you search Chris Carter Smith, Yeah, I'd be honored to have you follow me on Instagram. And I promise you that I'm committed to putting out content that inspires possibility and lives in these domains of leadership, language, and love. And, you know, one of the things that I'm really committed to is I really want to be the most, and this is something I've created with Steve in our time together, is I want to be the most relevant, relatable, and recognizable voice on the planet. And I don't say that because it has anything to do with me. I want to be the most relevant, recognizable, and relatable voice on the planet because of the difference I believe I can make for others and helping them live in possibility more than limitation and avoid a lot of just suffering that I went through.
Well, I firmly believe that that is possible for you because you demonstrated all three so clearly here in our conversation today, Chris. I admire you. I admire who you're being in the world. I love your commitment to your purpose of helping people really focus on what's possible for them and shifting from away from those limitations. Thank you so much for being with me today, with our listeners, and for all the good you're doing in the world. I'm so happy to have a platform here that allows us to share that in a bigger way.
Well, I think all the thanks goes to you, Meredith. Thanks for being an incredible leader and host, and for the responsibility of, you know, hosting the podcast and doing all your, you know, you made my job easy. I just had to show up. You have all the hard work. So thanks for being an incredible leader of the podcast.
And we'll be talking again soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If there's someone you know who could benefit from this conversation, please share this episode with them. Also, check out our website, beingmovement.com. You'll find valuable resources and links to connect to an engaging and wonderfully supportive community. Together, we can inspire and support each other on the path to a greater understanding of being. Until next time, take care and be kind to yourself.